the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 288. On the podcast today, I chat to Anthony Wintle, who talks about MXall, a couple of other stocks as well. Oh, by the way, I should be getting the CEO of MXall on the podcast maybe next week or the week after next. Also next week, Randy, the CEO of NCT. If you have any questions, I'll be sending out and tweeting a link in which you can send me a question there, and I'll ask Randy that next week. Plus, I have the micro macro news and the broker forecast and today's 10 bagger suggestion. And this podcast is dedicated to Ladyboy Roy. That I saw that on iTunes. It made me laugh. Roy has given me Ladyboy Roy. Thank you, Ladyboy Roy. You look gorgeous. It gave me a 5-star rating and a cracking review on iTunes. And if you do the same, I will dedicate a podcast to you. I'll read it out, what Roy says later, after everything else. But first, let me clarify something regarding SEB Resources. So yesterday on the podcast, let's go back and scroll out a couple of days. Wednesday, I had Dave Whitby, a lovely guy from the CEO, as you know, of SEB Resources. And the guy knows what he's talking about. He has a team who knows what he's talking about. They're operating in an area geographically. They know what they're talking about. And of course, in a sector, they know back to front. There's huge potential in this company, I believe. And I've really liked it. I've only ever been positive about SEB Resources. And if you listen to the podcast, you know that. You also know I don't hold any stock. So I'm completely unbiased. I am looking to invest in the company. All right. This was yesterday. I was looking to invest in it for a long time. Then Alan Green came on the podcast yesterday. Also a fan of SEB Resources. And we talked about them. And he likes it. It's a huge value gap. In that it means the company's value is worth a lot more than it is at the moment. That's what he thinks. And then went on to discuss possible funding issues that they may have. They may need funding. Even though Dave Whitby came on the podcast and said he's not coming to London on a funding roadshow. Okay? That doesn't mean they won't do funding before the end of the year or start of next year. And so we discussed this on the podcast, but we also said this is a good thing. You know, trouble is, too many companies name fundraise placings of shares. They place shares, a ridiculous discount to the current share price, and they over-dilute, and so it's a bad reputation, and shareholders get knocked and get annoyed by this. And of course, but a good company with a good reputation doesn't have to, issue at a massive discount, and the placing doesn't have to be highly dilutive. And anyway, if it does happen, which we said is highly likely, the money will be put to excellent use, which will make the company grow even bigger and better and produce more shareholder value. After all, that is what, a placing should be about, increasing shareholder value. So it's not a bad thing. This is not seen as a bad thing. And I did send, listen, when I tweet with a link on it, link into my podcast, I want people to click on the tweet, the link, to listen to the podcast. So every now and again, I have to sensationalize the tweets to make them exciting. They're boring, so please listen to the podcast. Who would listen? Come on, please. Click the link, please. Listen to the podcast. Will you please? So listen, I sent out a tweet saying it's highly likely SEB Resources will need funding. And, this is in the context of a positive thing. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You may lose, I don't know what we discussed percentage-wise with Alan, but he said something like, you may lose 10% in the short term, but in the medium term, you may pretty much gain 50 to 100% upside. That's a good thing, isn't it? And it can't go forward without extra funds. It needs it. It's like oxygen for fire. You need it to grow. You can't, make the fire go bigger without oxygen. It needs it. It's a good thing. And it was in no way meant to be a negative thing. All it was meant to do, the tweet was cheeky, was meant to, for people to click on that link. And it had that effect. You know what? Ironically, the podcast I did yesterday with Alan Green talking about SEB Resources has had twice as many listens as the podcast I did with the CEO of SEB Resources, which is a good thing, because in that podcast yesterday, we highlight all the positives about SEB. So, that's all I'm saying. And now do your own research on the company and do your own research on David Whitby too, and you'll find out that he's got an excellent track record in that field. And by the way, I'm saying this as you know, I'm saying this thing as raisings. You shouldn't be scared of a placing. And you're probably saying, well, it's easy for you to say. You're not a shareholder. Yes, I am. And joining me on the podcast right now is Anthony Wintle, who's a blog writer for ADVFN and has also got his own website, akwinvestmenttalk.co.uk. Yo, Ant, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you, Justin. Yeah, it's been an eventful day on the market.
Yeah, telling me. Well, eventful couple of weeks. When did we speak last? A couple of weeks back, I think. But
since then, we've had
some massive falls in prices, haven't we? So how is your portfolio looking?
Well, last time I talked to you, I was talking to you about Hurricane Energy, which, you know, I'd said that it was due at kind of an upwards trend due to the money flow indicator. And, you know, it moved up. It kind of reached the 14 pence per share mark, at which point I was kind of 15% up. And I decided at that point to take my profits. You know, I saw that it was starting to level out, took my profits. Every other oil stock was falling anyway, and I managed to come out with some profit, and lo and behold, it's dropping again now, but certainly some more upside there. I'm a bit too chicken for that.
Yeah. But it is a scary place to be at the moment, in small energy stocks, isn't it? So what else have you sold any, bought any? What are you looking at?
So one of the key stocks that I've been buying into at the moment is, there's two. It's MXO and AT&T. I think you're invested in both those as well.
Yes, I hold both of those. And so give me the reasons why you're into AT&T Energy.
Right, AT&T Energy, that's probably the best one to start with, actually. Mm. Okay, so I'll just give you a quick lowdown on what I know about the company. Mm-hmm. Bear with me, sorry about this. Okay, so anyway, they've obviously got the North Slope project in Icewine. Obviously that's their key asset at the moment. It's the main focus. The reason being, for one, you can get kind of, well, they've got an 87.5% working interest in it. And obviously, this year, you know, any work that they're doing this year, you know, they can get about 85% of the exploration expenditure back. And, you know, that drops back down next year to 75 and then obviously 35 after that. But, you know, that's a key point to make, is that makes it financially viable, even at the most horrendous of oil prices, because they're not having to kind of worry so much about the initial expenditure, because that will all come back to them, you know, more or less most of it will be coming back to them.
Yeah, so, and that's just, that's specifically for the Alaskan state, isn't it? Any exploration
correct,
costs,
yes,
there is a
correct
rebate to get that 85%, yeah. And do you know what I kind of like about this? The story about AT&T Energy, though, is not so much the current management, which, you know, Dave Wall is no slouch. He's got a good CV. But a guy called Paul Pazinski, who's this is the guy who stood out to me, who was, I mean, if you know of the Eagle Ford project in Texas there, it's the biggest gas and oil shale play, you know, or it's been the most money spent in it than any other shale play in the world. And I think at the end of last year, a million barrels of oil a day comes out of that play there.
That's crazy numbers. That
I know,
really is crazy.
Exactly. But if it's down to one person who discovered that, and obviously you can't put it down to one person, but everyone points towards Paul Pazinski, this guy who said there's oil there, huge oil, unconventional oil there, and his peers didn't believe him, and he said, yeah, there is, bear with me, he said, you know, what have I've been studying, it is oil there. And of course, then the rest is history. I mean, about 100 rigs are pulling oil out of the ground there. So he now went to Alaska. For the last 6-7 years, he's been in Alaska, in the central North Slope, and he works for Conoco, one of the big players. He discovered this again using the same kind of methodology in Alaska, and Conoco passed it over for some reason, because apparently they're too caught up with Eagle Ford. But he handed it to Dave Wall, and he said, listen, there is this unconventional play here, and I think it's quite big. And of course, all the surrounding fields around it, you know, and some of them up to a couple of miles away, have proven assets there. And so he's handed over Dave Wall, AT&T Energy, but he also has a 12.5% stake in this. So he has got sort of his money with him, where his mouth is. And I think this guy sorry, he's a legendary figure. And so, you know, I'm just thinking, this guy knows his stuff. This Paul Buzynski, you know, and I don't think he would put his legendary status on the edge there if he didn't truly believe there was a good assets there. So that's all it is. I mean, that's the trouble, isn't it, with small oil stocks? It's a bit of a gamble, you know, and so you've really got to think, you know. Well, hang on, that's probably Paul Buzynski calling you, sec. Right, sorry. So yeah, it's a bit of a gamble, but I just think, you know, this guy has got, you know, legendary status for discovery of oil, and so I think, you know, it's backed up by that, and I quite like that. So what else did you take on it?
Right, well, obviously AT&T at the moment, they've just dropped a bit. Now I'm looking at the charts now, and you know, I'm quite keen at the moment on the money flow, you know, indicator and the Arun indicator. And just looking at it now, the Arun's still in the green, like the green is the up, the red is the down. Now at the moment, the green is above the up, the green is above the down. So that indicates that it's obviously starting an upwards trend. And if you look at the money flow, it's just dipped to the same level as it did before. It just done its most recent rise. Now, just on that alone, I know that there's been enough selling for there to be a rise after this. So the small downward step could actually indicate that there's going to be a much larger bounce from that level, even kind of up to the 0.7 mark at this stage, just from a chart alone. And obviously there's drilling coming, you know, at the end of this month we could quite easily see, spudding of wells. You know, it's all happening, and it's all happening in the next couple of months. So it's certainly one that people should, have on the radar at the very least.
Yeah, and do you know what another point is, that the Great Bear Field right next to it, right next to their field, they are in the process of doing seismic, you know, sort of analogy there, 3D seismic technology there. And if they prove the resources they think they have, if they prove before before AT&T Energy does anything, then even the real estate alone that AT&T Energy owns will it's almost increased by tenfold overnight. They've paid around about $40 per acre for what they've got. Now, if you've got proven assets, that's worth about $1,000 to $1,400 an acre. So it's like an amazing upside, even if their neighbour, manages to prove that is all bearing, you know, strata there. So that's quite a good. It's quite a good play.
That's a key point. If you look at the share price, kind of when it was launched and where it is now, it's scary how it's just kind of almost level with where it was launched at.
Yeah.
So taking that into consideration, you could kind of put forward the principal idea that the assets aren't actually priced in at this stage. You know, no upside at all has been priced in. And if you look at, I mean, over the past few days, a lot of shares have been traded. And I think that could be something to do with the new shares being actually launched onto the market now. Mm. You know, officially you can trade those shares now. But I think it could also be down to the fact that people know what's coming. And because of the direct timeline that AT&T have given out, you know, they've gave out more or less as close to an exact timeline as they possibly can. You know, it's all pointing towards hype will start building from this point on. It's a great opportunity to get into a company in basically its most early stage.
Yeah. Okay. So let's have a talk about MX Oil then. What do you like about this?
Right. Well, MX Oil, unfortunately, at the moment, it is, my indicators are pointing towards a downwards trend. Now, that's not really a concern to me because I bought into this company, and my average is, I think it's, bear with me, I've actually got my exact average here. So my exact average is 0.248, so 2.48 pence per share.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already a little bit down on these. But, you know, I've been buying in stages on the way down, and I've been buying in, you know, regular at this stage because I see potential upside in kind of the January area, maybe even sooner than that. There's going to be drilling occurring. There's going to be the Mexican assets coming online. You know, the near-term asset could potentially be giving MXO a revenue stream kind of in the January stage.
Yeah, so they got the Nigerian field, haven't they, that's starting to work on now. But the whole excitement here is basically that's only a play, isn't it? They're only getting revenue from that to expand their Mexican enterprise. And as yet, though, that isn't proven, is it? I mean, I think there's 25 licenses up for grabs. 15 companies are in the running for those licenses, aren't they? And MXR, of course, are playing for some of those licenses. So it isn't a done deal, is it there? That's the trouble. I mean,
certainly not. And I think that's the key point. They had to take on another asset just to keep the cash flow going. Mm. You know, because at the end of the day, every company needs cash flow, especially, you know, the kind of monetary requirements for taking on any fields in Mexico. You know, it is expensive, and you know, anyone that thinks differently are fooling themselves. You know, they've got to keep the cash flow up, possibly even, you know, I think they're funded enough so they won't need a placement before they get their assets, but certainly after they've secured assets, they'll take advantage of the next spike, you know, to offload some more shares and kind of, you know, build up a bit more money in the bank to take advantage of the assets fully, I think.
I know,
that's my opinion.
Yeah, I know they've got a company they're working with in Mexico who know the field a little bit. But I mean, I'm just wondering how confident are they of winning a license?
Well, they're ticking every single box. So, you know, MXO, they're very, very confident that, you know, this is going to go one way. They've got the support of the locals. You know, they've got a great JV partner. There's no reason at all why they won't collect at least one asset. You know, I'm looking, kind of thinking, you know, at the very minimum, MXO will pick up a couple of assets, hopefully onshore. You know, that's probably the key area that they're going to take advantage of, you know, already producing fields onshore where they can just kind of, you know, drill and refurbish the wells that are already there.
Yeah. So essentially,
clean up, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So people don't know the story. Mexico is opening up its, you know, its energy sector here to foreign investment, aren't they? And this is the reason why there's all these licenses up for grabs. And hopefully, there's a lot of money to be earned there. And MXOL is one of these companies that's hoping to do a bit of land grab there. But we won't. Is it in December? I think the timeline, isn't it? December is when they'll find
that's
out.
Correct. That's correct. Unfortunately, you know, that it is a waiting game at this stage. No one knows at all when the hype will start building, you know. So, you know, looking at the charts, I'm expecting, like I said, downwards turn at the moment on MXO. But like I said, it's in the oil industry at the moment, everything's so volatile that, you know, if you're not in at the right stage, you know, even if you have to take kind of 20, even 30% hit to begin with, if you're not in at the right stage, you're going to miss out on, you know, potentially huge gains overall. So it's the end game that you have to keep an eye on, and, you know, average down as you're going down. Put in, say, if you want to stick, you know, if you've got 100% of what you want to stick into MXO, stick 20% in now. Stick 20% in if it drops. You know, if it starts rising a bit, maybe stick in your 20% then. But, you know, keep putting in small amounts at a time, build up your position slowly, and then, you know, you're very much more likely to take advantage of the situation than someone that's just sitting on their hands.
Yeah, simply to see where they are now. They're at 2.375 pence, and there is a bit of a support level there. If you look back, you know, just above the 2 pence level, it seems to be a bit of support. So it'd be interesting to see whether it holds that. It has seemed to bounce off that last week, and it's come down today a little bit, minus 5%. But it'd be interesting to see if it can hold that previous support.
I'm kind of looking now. I think the new support will probably be around the kind of 2.2, maybe even the 2.1 mark now. I think that's where the next bounce will occur. You know, but then again, it could quite easily jump from the price that it is at the moment. You know, it does look like, according to the charts, that it will eventually, within the next kind of week and a half, move into an upwards trend, according to the Yaroon. So, You know, theoretically speaking, we could be seeing an upwards trend, and a very strong upwards trend, over the next kind of week and a half. So it's certainly one to be keeping an eye on. And like I said, you don't want to be out of these companies when they start moving, because you won't get in once they've started moving. You know, they will move, and they'll move fast.
Yeah, and of course, the oil price has bounced a couple of percentage points. In fact, about 15% since this time last week. But it has gone down yesterday, so down 6% yesterday. The Brent crude is touching $50 now. And WTI is just below that, 46. But, okay, what's the last stock you're looking at, then? And you said one more stock, I think you said.
Right. Well, it's Hurricane... not Hurricane Energy. HNT, which is Huntsworth.
Yeah. Isn't this gas and oil sector service?
No. Huntsworth is actually a healthcare service.
Oh, right.
So this is a complete different sector to what I usually talk about. Now, I'm looking at the charts. I'm seeing probably another 20, even up to 30% downside on this particular stock. Now, the reason why this could become a very interesting opportunity is because, first of all, it's giving out a dividend. Now, you know, there's not many stocks, at this level that are giving out dividends. In fact, I'll give you the exact price that it's at the moment. Its last dividend was 0.5 pence. It's currently at 35 pence a share. So, you know, that doesn't sound so great now. But if you take into consideration that this could drop another 20 to 30%, you know, that at that stage, this is a share that you want to be in.
Well, they've got it's about a 5% dividend, which is not too bad. Yeah, do you know what? Yes, you're right. So who am I thinking of as an oil and gas sector? Right, this is Huntsworth. Yeah, it's PR. They're PR in the healthcare sector, aren't they? That's right.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm actually in touch with the director of it. Ex-director, technically, Lord Chadlington. He's a great guy. With him behind the helm, then they managed to get on Blue Focus, which is the key to entering the Middle East, the Chinese markets, etc. By taking on board that, you know, the company is actually fairly undervalued at this stage. I think the poor performance that the end of year results showed. That's most of the reason why there's downside at this stage. But certainly with the dividend secured at the moment, and the fact that, you know, they are making the effort to start reducing costs, etc., there's plenty of upside for Huntsworth at this stage. But like I said, keep an eye out, because at this moment in time, it does look like there's going to be more downside. You know, it dropped another almost 6% today. Could quite easily drop another 6% tomorrow, but certainly one to keep on the radar for the evidently lower price that could arise from the poor results.
Yeah, looking at the chart, there, it's flirting that 40 pence level, and it did break down below it. Now it's down at 35 pence, and like I said, if you're looking at the MACDs, they've gone down to -1, and they are diverging this, so it does seem another leg down. But let me just click on the 1 year chart. Look at the 5 year chart. Wow, do you know what? That has broke literally. The level is just broken at the moment. It's bounced off that in 2012, 2013, and almost 2014 as well. A couple of times it's broken down lower. But once, do you know what? The lowest has been
further back to 2008. Yeah. In 2008, it dropped down to 19.5. And from that stage, it shot straight back up to the 83, almost 84 pence per share mark. I think that was around the time that Blue Focus came into the limelight. I'm not 100% certain on that, so don't quote me on that one.
But you know what? There is support level, though. If you look at, when is this? January 2012, okay? It did go down to 32 pence. And it's at 35 pence now, and it just bounced back up and almost severely oversold, and bounced back up just about 55 pence. So it did regain a lot of ground from there. May sell again. It may get another 32 pence and bounce back up. If it breaks that level, like I said, it may go down even lower, but down to 19 maybe. But that's 32 pence level. Be good to see if it holds that,
Certainly. I mean, at the end of the day, just it's a game of keeping an eye on it. You know, as you can see on the charts, as soon as it starts to go, it'll go flying straight back up again. But, you know, you have to find a price that you're comfortable in paying, because at the end of the day, it will give you dividends. So, you know, you've got that level of security. I think that's the main reason why it has such a strong support at the 33 level, because obviously at that level, you know, it's still got dividends. It can only go down so far before, you know, people are making almost 100% on dividends, which is obviously ridiculous. And I think at one stage it was giving out dividends three times a year as well. So, you know, like I said, one to definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, in 2011, it was the dividend yield went up to 9.8%. They can't afford that, though. That's ridiculous.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, dividend. Yeah, so it's almost hot. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's a good little stock to watch. So we're looking at the 200-day moving average, and that's flattening out a little bit. So we may see, you know, I mean, it's obviously sparked low, but it doesn't help because, you know, the American markets are down overnight and everything. So, yeah, there we are.
Yeah, most of the work's in dollars. The last thing I'd like to talk about is just a new site that's about to launch.
Go on.
Right, so it's talkaboutshares.com, and you know it's a brand new site to the market. You know, it's had currently 100% positive feedback from all the companies involved. You know, we're getting on board directors from companies in all different sectors. You know, technology sectors, oil and gas. You know, there's so much interest in the company at the moment. And most importantly, you know, it's built for investors by investors. What I mean by that is we're going to be taking a £5 membership fee to join. Now, that sounds quite a lot because, you know, people don't know the site. People don't know what we're offering. But if you look at what we're actually giving for that £5, we're giving kind of tickets to the Golden Bear Show and, you know, the Golden Bear and Trade Show.
Mm-hmm.
The UK Investment Show in 2016, we're giving free tickets for that as well. So you know, for your £5, you get in. Now that's £5 a month, mind. So you get in the Golden Bears and Trade Show on the 28th of November 2015. You get in the UK Investment Show in 2016. You know, we're also trying to add in live pricing at some point, but we'll have to wait until we've got our membership, you know, membership levels up for that. At the moment, we're just going to plug every single penny that comes into the site straight into new features, you know, maintenance on the site, just building up the site slowly, and seeing. Hopefully, at the end of it, we'll have a site that's literally built by investors, because it's your money that'll basically be building the site. So, like, level two pricing should be added. Now, that'll take on an extra charge, but we want to heavily undercut the market. So, you know, for your £5, you know, we're going to try and offer membership live prices for a lot cheaper than any other site. But, you know, it's all working in progress at the moment. You know, we'll have live director talks. We'll have videoed director podcasts. We've already got one online at the moment, a company called IQE.
Mm-hmm.
I actually secured that deal. IQE are on board the site. They're a microchip company. They're a very exciting technology company. And, you know, they obviously found the site concept, you know, pleasing enough to take on that, you know, to take on the role of putting webcasts and stuff on it. Sorry, by the way, IQE is a semiconductor company.
Yeah, based in Cardiff. I was investing in those for a while. And
they're really good.
Yeah. So, all right.
The price, the reason why we're not letting people on for free from the beginning is because we want this forum, because there is a main forum on this site. Obviously, also, we're giving away free tickets, so we don't want to give people free membership and free tickets and then them walking away, you know, after a month, realizing that they've got everything that they want and, you know, they've walked off. That would not be good. But certainly the main reason is because the forum is, you know, monitored and, you know, we're wanting it to be as fresh and, as, and, you know, not clogged up by rubbish. by making sure that people are actually paying to use the forum.
Yeah, I like the way you said you forum. Forum.
Yeah.
Is that the same as a forum?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
forum.
So by making them pay, obviously it's an incentive for them to, you know, behave themselves more or less.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to risk losing your membership, you know, to slag off people or to, you know, to abuse other people's opinions and stuff. You know, it'll hopefully make for a nicer, you know, shared discussion environment. For everyone.
Marvellous. Well, all right. Well, I'll put the link to that on sharepickers.com so people can click through and see the front page. And, you know, if they're interested, they can obviously join up. Marvellous, Anthony. Lovely to talk
to you. Thank
you very much. And I'm sure we'll talk again very soon. And
we will.
So just to recap there, we did cover 88 Energy, which is 88E. We also looked at MXO, which is MXO. And of course, it was a Huntsworth, HNT. That's right.
That's correct, yes.
Marvellous. Thanks, Andy. Speak soon.
No problem. Thank you very much, Justin. Thanks. Bye.
It's time for the micro macro news. Here's the macro news. Nearly a million homeowners have no way of paying off their mortgages because they have opted for interest-only loans, according to the Citizens Advice. There's nothing wrong with homeowners. Some of my best friends are homeowners. I'm a homeowner. I'm out. I'm out of the closet. I'm a homeowner. The new figure is much higher than previously thought from lenders and the city watchdog, the financial guy that said. So there we are. I don't know. So you're supposed to put money aside. You get a cheaper mortgage, interest only. Put money aside. At the end, that lump sum should cover the mortgage. Most people don't do that, do they? God, my mortgage is cheap. Nothing. And all at the end, you know, they enjoy the money they're saving and flitter it away. They come to the end of the 25 years or whatever and they hang on. How are we going to pay this house off? Okay, inflation in the Eurozone may enter negative territory in the coming months, but the European Central Bank will stick to its steady hand policy, ECB Governing Council member Ewald Nowotny said on Friday. I don't know how to pronounce that surname. Nowotny, that's it. Nowotny. Japanese shares fell as much as 3% today. Touching a seven-month low as the yen strengthened against the dollar ahead of a much-anticipated job numbers from the US data later. Let's just check it out. What time they had the non-farm payrolls? Let's have a look. Lower than expected. Okay, now just look at this. Non-farm payrolls for August, lower than expected at 173,000, but employment fell from 5.3% to 5.1%. So average was 211,000 jobs created last quarter. Is that what it is? Yes. I think that's it. Similar against, yeah. 220,000 were expected. 173,000 were created. Of course, what's going to happen now is this will push out, they'll think. The stock market's reacted about it because they're saying this will push out down 1.8%. You know, I read a good, very good tweet today that said that essentially when the market is very volatile, that's the signs of a bear market. Because an upward trend isn't that volatile. It's quite smooth compared to a down market. And we do see the sense it's very volatile at the moment. You know, down 1.8%. In fact, just ticked down to 1.7%, the FTSE 100. FTSE 250 down 1.1%. Yeah, it does seem like that. It's very volatile at the moment. I don't know if this is going to sort itself out, you know, come late September, October. But it is very volatile. So that's that. Anyway, so let's move on to something else. I don't know. I've lost my way here. Oh, there we are. I'm on the wrong tab. That's what it was. Anyway, so Japanese shares fell there, but that's not as bad. I mean, obviously, it's bad news is good news to a certain extent because interest rates won't be raised, this thing now. Micro news. Here's the good news. Northcote Energy jumped up after the company confirmed that it's participating in the Mexican onshore field bid round and has registered for and been granted access to the data being administered by the National Hydrocarbons Commission to assess opportunities. Now, like I said, I got Randy, the CEO of Northcote, on next week, NCT. So if you want to ask a question, by all means, click the link. I'll put the link here on sharepickers.com and submit the question there. IS Solutions shares surged today as they released a strong trading statement saying in the first 5 months of the current financial year, the business has successfully continued to build on its compelling finish last year. GVC Holdings has trumped rival 888 Holdings in the battle for online gambling group Bwin Party Digital Entertainment. God, that's been a tussle, hasn't it? First of all, it was 888, or Bwin suggested this, they were going to recommend the bid from 888 to their shareholders, and then GVC said this is not on. Even though a smaller company, really aggressive, said they're prepared to go aggressive in this bid. And they've won it, by the looks of it. Plant Impact, the agricultural crop improvement specialist, said it now expects to break even after trading profitably throughout last year, for the full year. So their shares are up strongly today. AstraZeneca has won an extension to its US regulatory approval for its star blood thinning drug, Brilinta, to allow it to be given to patients for more than 1 year after the first heart attack. Comms shares rose after they suggested that one of its divisions, Redstone, had a good start of the year, and its profits are expected to exceed the ongoing PLC overheads and its other divisions' losses. Here's the bad news. Codal Minerals shares have slumped after releasing what they described as a mixed set of results. Yeah, we know what that means. Pretty much all bad, yeah. Okay, it's time for the broker forecast. Here's the upgrades. There's none today. No, do you know what? There's very few brokers working on the Friday, to be honest. There's one downgrade. Investec has downgraded GKN to hold. Price target, £3. And that's a very lazy, isn't it? Downgrade. Hold £3. In a round figure, yeah. Okay, we have a 10-bagger suggestion. And today, it's suggested by @styledgentleman. We follow each other on Twitter, so @styledgentleman. And the stock he's suggesting is Roxy Petroleum, RXP. What does the company do? Oil sector. What's the current price and market cap? It's 10 pence market cap, 93 million. Name three reasons why you think this company is a possible 10-bagger. Number one, if the oil price improves. Number two, currently two deep wells awaiting flow tests first found good oil. And number three, funded to drill two further deep wells this year and more next. So it sounds good. There we are. Roxy Petroleum, a possible 10-bagger, suggested by Style Gentleman. RXP is the ticker. And finally, we get on to Ladyboy Roy. Roy, this podcast is dedicated to you. Probably the best friend I have who is a ladyboy called Roy. He's given me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and this is Roy's review. It is, I'm noob to invest in. Oh, a noob, sorry. Brainstorming Podcast is the title there. 5 stars. A noob to investing. This podcast has become a daily listen without fail over the last few months. Easy listening, informative, knowledgeable. Have you got the right podcast? informative, knowledgeable guests and... Oh, knowledgeable guests, yeah. It just discounts me. And some belting investment ideas. I can't sleep until I listen to this podcast. Yeah, that's a backhanded compliment there, Ladyboy Roy. Are you saying this podcast makes you go to sleep? Anyway, listen. I value your input, and this podcast is yours, Ladyboy Roy, forever. 288 is your podcast because you give me that review. Thank you very much. By all means, if you have a few minutes spare, please go to iTunes and look for the review section. It's not easy to find, to be honest. I don't know why they've hidden it, but I'm up to 79 now, which is good. If I get 100, that's up in Big Boys League. There are not many podcasts about over 100 5-star reviews. So please help me get an extra 21, because I know there are, you know, thousands of people listening to this. I know it's an effort to have to go somewhere and write a review. So that's why I dedicate a podcast to you if you do it. Please don't forget, don't invest in anything you hear that's recommended or as a tip on this podcast. Please do your own research, as it's your own money. Okay, and also, you know, it's quite enjoyable doing some research and then finding out, I quite like this stock. So do that, and then, be careful. There's probably another podcast tomorrow. In fact, there is another podcast, a weekend podcast with my mates Pete and Steve. Even though I'm going off now, driving up to Wales for a stag weekend, we're going to watch England, Ireland in the bar, then go to the Millennium Stadium to watch Wales play Italy. But the next podcast will be out. We've recorded that, okay. And don't forget, next week I've got Randy from NCT Northcote, and also hopefully Stefan from MX Oil, amongst other guests on the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Speak tomorrow.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.